Leafs Flames tonight back on TSN 4. The Leafs with a win last night, points in seven straight. That Calgary team is done. It is over. See you later. Finished. They got a bit of a bump early with Sutter, but 2-8 since. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What happened with his Flames team? Like, what? I don't see any spark, Ray. I don't see anything redeeming about this team at this point.
Well, I got to say, I'm surprised, Brian. I thought they were going to be one of the better teams in the division at the start of the year, man. Like, I looked at their lineup, and I'm like, I think they're pretty good. And they've just not had it. And so now they're changing coaches, and they brought in free agents. They've got to look at this and go, you know what? We got the wrong players. They're not good enough together to be a good enough team. So in their last 10 games, they are 2 wins and 8 losses. They've scored 20 goals in 10 games. Their best 4 offensive players are Sean Monahan, Johnny Goodrow, Matthew Tkachuk, and Elias Lindholm. They've got 6 goals in the 10 games together. They can't win. They can't win like that. They're not even close. The style that Daryl Sutter wants to play, you know, I don't think they have the players for it.
Like, they played pretty good for 2 periods. No, it doesn't seem that way anyway.
Didn't they play pretty good? Did you guys think? I did. I thought they played pretty good for 2 periods. They were second period. They were all over the Leafs. The Leafs really didn't get much going. And then Galchenyuk scores. And then in the third, so they get the brutal break, right? They get the brutal break off of Hanifin's foot. That's a bad break. But Tkachuk doesn't get a puck out at the blue line. Matthews beats him on the wall for it. Then it goes down low. Hanifin gets standing between Matthews and Marner. He doesn't really take either. It's a beautiful play, but 2 mistakes on the same goal, and it's over. They're done. They're not coming back from 4-2 down.
No, I didn't think they were coming back from 3-2 down, Ray. And I think it says something about their psyche. When it went 3-2, it was like, see you later. But also the maturation of the Maple Leafs, who didn't – you're right, the second period, the Leafs had nothing. Like, really nothing. They were not dangerous. They barely had the puck, no shots on net. And then it felt like they go up 3-2, and all of a sudden they realized, all right, we're just going to take this game. And I think that's one of those litmus test moments within the season where you realize this team is different than they have been in years past, where they didn't get the lead and then cheat or give up a bunch of opportunities or get snowed in. Once the Leafs made it 3-2, I really felt like it was over. There was a better chance they were going up 4-2 than the Flames were going to tie at 3-3.
The difference in the way that they've, I think, matured or decided to defend, they don't give up the quality of chances they used to give up. I mean, not even close. The Flames had some decent chances, and Hutchinson was good. He made some good saves for them. But they just seem to be able to just be patient when the game's not going well. Don't make the big mistake that comes back and ends up in your net. They do that game after game. It's not like they're scoring 4 goals a game. It's really kind of a little bit more of a dull Leaf team, but it's probably a more predictable team. Like, even when they don't have it, they kind of got something. Remember the past couple of years when they didn't have it? Man, they didn't have it. They'd get run out of the building.
Yep.
They'd give up 6 goals. It doesn't happen. It just, man, they're in their third goaltender. It doesn't matter who's in there. They kind of all play the same way. What I keep noticing, though, is like with Brody, they have a top 4 they can really lean on. And they feel really comfortable with it. Then you get into the third pair, and if Dermott plays a solid game, you know what Bogosian's going to be because he's been that for a decade. You're like, their defense is pretty good. There's no real weak spots to it. Now, they don't have any depth, and that would be a concern if somebody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you going to plug it? I heard you guys talking about Sandin, and really the only place that Sandin fits is if Dermott gets hurt.
Yep. He can't be higher than that, ideally, anyway.
Well, what does that mean? You go out and get some Luke Shens or...
That example you gave of last year, you know, what Tampa did, they didn't go out and get guys that they weren't sure about. They weren't asking Luke Shen to play 12 or 15 minutes. They're like, you play 8 or 10 minutes here, this is what we need from you.
Hit, get it out, get it in, and get off.
And then make sure that Hedman's rested by the time you come back. And so that's the type of player I think would be a target. Somebody in that realm. You know, do you have somebody that could play both sides? Is there somebody that you could play on your third pair to play 8 to 10 minutes? That's kind of, in my mind, what they're looking for. They don't need another top four guy, but they need somebody that can be solid if they have to play minutes for them.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a guy, Michael Delzato's in Columbus. He could play 8 minutes for you, get it in, get it out, kill a penalty. That could be your Luke. I don't know. Well, how do you think the goaltending scenario shakes out, though, Ray? Like, it's such a, like, amidst the winning, it's people are always asking me, like, how's this goaltending going to play out? And I'm like, I have no idea, because I don't know what's up with Freddie. I don't even know what's up with their backup. Like, just big picture, how do you see the goaltending scenario playing out here?
Well, I guess I'm more curious about Campbell's health right now.
Yeah, like, you'd have to think, like, or wonder, why didn't he back up last night? Like, is he that bad where he can only play a game and then he's, I don't know.
Well, he practiced yesterday morning, so I guess that's good news, though. But, yeah. The fact that they're being so careful with him tells me Freddie's probably not great, because they've got the kid gloves on Campbell right now. And he's been terrific. But if if the games get stacked up here, then you got another problem. There's one other way to look at it. If they keep putting a little distance between people, they can give them a week off.
Yeah.
You know, Hutchinson's numbers are, like, sometimes he gives me the when he's in there, but he's still stopping the puck.
Yeah.
And his numbers are good enough, and the team has been good enough, that maybe they can find a spot where he plays a couple of games in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I even thought they might come back with him tonight.
Why not try the other kid tonight, though? See what you got. Carlo mentioned that on Twitter. It's like that Villa, I don't even know the guy's name, but throw him in there, see what he's got. Like, play Hutchinson back-to-back, like... Play the other guy, see what the hell he can do.
Well, I think I would play Hutchinson back to back tonight. Like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't super taxed last night. And the only reason I would do that would be just trying without knowing their health, right? Like, we don't really know, but like just to try and give Campbell a little more breathing room. Because man, the guy's been phenomenal. But he always seems like, you know, like the last game, I think it was the last game. Remember, he made the one save and he kind of got up a little wonky in Winnipeg.
That was on Connor. Like, yeah, he went post to post on Connor.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I see that, I'm like, ooh, he's probably not feeling great. But then he got past whatever the stinger was, and then he was awesome for the rest of the game.
It's the strangest development I've maybe ever seen following this team, and I've been following them closely my whole life, where you've got a guy in Jack Campbell who is 8-0. His numbers are off the charts. He's got a .951 save percentage, which clearly is not sustainable. I mean, that goes without saying. That's going to come back to reality. But all this guy does is win, and he makes big stops, and he's an easy guy to like. This should be taking on a life of its own. Like, any other year with any other player with any other injury history, not only is he the number one, every Leaf fan on earth is saying he's the number one, yet you don't pick up on it because there's so much uncertainty about his status. Like, he's had so many injury problems, you can't commit to seeing this guy take the ball and run with it, to the point that you just made a comment there, O, that I think everyone accepts as not the worst idea, the fact that you'd play a fourth stringer over a guy who's 8-0 tonight. Because you got to save Jack Campbell, and that's just so rare. Like everyone's like, save Jack, as opposed to, man, I hope he plays. And if he keeps rolling like this, then he's the number one, or could be in the conversation to be the number one. Because I can't imagine Freddie Anderson's watching him play and feeling overly secure. How could you when the guy literally hasn't lost yet this year?
Well, aside from looking at it just from the goaltending perspective, doesn't that say that, you know, we're all kind of pretty impressed with the way this team has played? That you're like, yeah, you could play your four-string goalie.
And probably still win tonight.
and probably be okay. I mean, there's other things that I look at, you know, as I'm looking at the Leafs. I, you know, with Hyman up on that, on the best, on the big line, that certainly makes that third line a little different. Although I thought Simmons skated really well last night. And he, you know, he's a part of the picture here. I don't know that Galchenyuk, for all the great plaudits he's getting right now, I don't know if he's the answer on your second line, but he's showing he should be one of your 12 forwards. I still think they need another forward in that mix somewhere. However, they're going to dance the players around, but it feels like they need another forward.
Well, the name that's coming up now is Kyle Palmieri down in Jersey, but he is primarily a right winger, right? He's a right shot right winger. And Marner, Nylander, you mentioned Simmons. I think Spez is going to play, as he should, the way he's been playing. So he's either going to have to play on his offside, which is basically what Hyman's been doing anyway. Can he play on his offside? What is the price? That's where it gets complicated. Like I think it's pretty focused when you say, Ray, like you're looking for someone who's comfortable playing left wing with some very good players.
I like Palmieri a lot. He's not the fastest guy, but he's strong. He's got a good shot. He's not timid about getting into where the puck is and where he's got to get to score. I can't tell you if he's super familiar on the left wing. You know, my thought is that he's mostly a right winger, but that might be because that's where he's always played, and maybe he would be comfortable playing there. I don't know that, but it feels like that spot is one that they can try to upgrade on. Now you might get there and get towards Monday and go, man, I'm not paying any of these prices. This is crazy. Or you might look at it and go, you know what? We're pretty good here. We got a good chance. Because all I keep thinking about this division, guys, is if you can just find your way through two series wins to win eight games, you're in a place that you might never get to quite so easily again.
That's exactly right.
They haven't been there in 20 years. Like they have been to the conference final in 93, 94, 99, 2002. They haven't won a playoff round in 15, but that's it. And you look at these other Canadian teams, and it's effectively been set. Like, we were talking about this at 4 o'clock, Ray, with everything that's going on in Vancouver, and we'll get your 2 cents on that. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of blowback from fans throughout the country or throughout the league if the Canadian division only plays 50 games or 52 games, because it's been determined. You know, before this outbreak, Calgary's done, Vancouver's done, Ottawa's done. The four teams are in. Mm-hmm. We know who it is. And Edmonton can scare you a bit. Winnipeg can scare you a bit. Montreal can scare you a bit. It's not a lock by any means. But I can't picture a scenario where if the Leafs are healthy, they're not the favorite against whoever they play. Doesn't mean they'll win it, but that's a new shoe that they'd be wearing, because they weren't against Boston, right? They weren't against Washington 4 years ago. They'd be the team expected to win, and Vegas would tell you that.
That goes right back to the start of the year when most people, I think, felt Toronto was the best team. But then it was Montreal, Calgary as the next two teams, and then kind of a little mix of Winnipeg, Edmonton, and maybe Vancouver. Like, you know, they were the sixth team, for me anyway. But there is now a pretty clear separation. I can see where each of those teams gives you a problem, like would give Toronto a problem, but I would still say they've got the best team. But right now, the three best goalies in the division are Hellebuck, Smith, and Campbell. Who would have bet on that?
No kidding.
You know, Hellebuck, yes, but Smith and Campbell? Smith's been amazing for the Oilers.
Insanely good. Incredibly good. And I feel like I have more faith in him than Campbell, just because I think he's going to play, even though he's 39 years old. Like, I think Smith will be in the lineup. Games 1 through 7, he'll be there. He'll be ready to play. Campbell's a different story, clearly.
Man, it's this whole goalie thing is so interesting, because you can't win without it. You don't have to have the best, but you can't stumble around in there. We saw Colorado come apart at the seams last year when they, you know, when they basically ended up with Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you remember, you know, old guy Freddie Frances couldn't do it, and Grubauer was hurt, and then it was, you're like, Hutchinson? Really? And then they were
with
done.
It all on the line.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well, clearly. And that's the truth. And it's been that way for 100 years. And it's not going to change this year, and it will not change for the next 100. The goaltending position, you need it. You need, at a minimum, mediocre goaltending. And even that, there's only been a few examples in the last, 20 or 30 years where you're like, that guy was, he was good. Antti Raanta was good. But the Hawks were so good, it didn't matter.
Did they not win the cup? Antti Niemi.
Niemi, yeah. That's who I'm talking about. Niemi, yeah.
I watched, we were doing the series. They were playing Philly. And game one, I want to say Michael Layton was the Flyers goalie.
He was, you're right, yep.
It was dodgeball at both ends. And somehow the Hawks won. That's the last time I can remember a team where you're like, I don't know, is he the starter? I guess, maybe.
Well, that would explain why Crawford was in there the next year, I believe.
Yes.
Raanta wins a cup, and they're like, thank you for your service. There's the door. There's your ring. There's the door. Corey Crawford has arrived, and if we're going to win two more, we need him.
I gotta say, I was listening earlier. You guys were talking about the Jets trading Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Do you know what it reminded me of? And it kind of ties into the goalies. Remember when the Islanders had the goalie of the future in Roberto Luongo, and then they traded him to get the goalie of the future in Rick DiPietro.
That's
what the Jets do. It's like, could they take a breath once? And how about draft a couple of linemen so the guy's not on his ass the whole day?
How about the fan base? Like, we were talking about it, Ray, and it's like, you think you have your future quarterback, and then 3 years later at the draft, you're eyeballing the future quarterback again. a lot of times an organization, after the third year, you're like, okay, we're going to be ready to challenge now after year three. Now they're ready to dial it back and get another one and start again. That would suck so bad.
That's the one event that needs to have the fans in it.
The NFL draft, it's the best reaction. The best.
The people don't even know who half these guys are, and they're losing their minds.
It's so good.
I love it.
Dude, yeah, we got to get Brian McCabe on tomorrow. He is the biggest Jets fan of all time. Him and his buddies have a green Jets camper that they drive to the games, and they wear green hair and stuff. They're lunatics. We got to get him on to ask him about the Jets.
Yeah, well, because they're going back to the well. It's clear. They're going a new coach, new quarterback, and we'll see where they're at in 3 years. And it would have been tough for 20 years when Brady was in your division. The greatest quarterback of all time. But they've been through this now three times.
They had some years way back when they were pretty good, Hayes.
They were. They went to the title game with Sanchez and Rex Ryan. Yeah. But it was Mark Sanchez, right? And that was the issue in the end. Same thing. Took him fifth overall. I believe they traded up to get him. And a couple good years to start. And then all of a sudden he faded. They kicked him to the curb. See you later. Darnold, see you later. Now it'll be probably whoever they take, Zach Wilson or Fields or whatever. But Brady in the division, now you got Josh Allen up in Buffalo, who looks like he could be a stud for a decade. So you're just always chasing it. You're always on the verge of chasing it. But you're right, Ray. It's cyclical, man. Some of these teams, you're always looking for it. You're always trying to find it. And you feel like you have it until you see the guy play, and then you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, but they've been at this a long time.
A long time.
You got to hand it to them for their consistency of lack of success. It's really been something.
Quickly, with it being Masters Week, do you think it's a good thing that Spieth won, or a bad thing that he won in terms of betting on him to win again back-to-back weeks at Augusta?
Bad thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Nobody wins twice in a row.
No, especially after 4 years without a win. Right.
Yeah, but imagine how fired up and horned up he is.
Well,
I got the magic back.
Right? Being fired up, now he's hitting driver everywhere, and he's not going to win this week.
Ray, we were talking about the exchange with the caddy, how the caddy was trying to get him to hit the 3-wood on 18. I almost fell off my chair. I couldn't believe it. Usually the caddy's saying, here's the 8-iron, you're not getting anything else. He said, here, hit the 3-wood at the green. I was like, oh, my God.
You guys, you must know that story with Woods at the U.S. Open when he had the 12-shot lead. And he took three balls back to his room to putt the night before, and he forgot them. So they get back, and the caddy, that Steve Williams, never really checked the bag because they've always got enough, They get to 18. He's a mile in front. Well, somewhere along the line, he scuffed the ball, signed it, and gave it to some kid. So now they get to the 18th tee, and he smothers one into the water on 18 at Pebble. He's only got one ball in the bag. If he hits this out of bounds, they got a DQ.
No way.
And so the caddy's trying to talk him into hitting an iron out into the middle of the fairway without telling him it's the only ball that he's got left.
Right.
And just what you said, Tiger's like, give me the driver. Give me the ball. He put it on the tee and smashed it down there. He didn't tell him till after. Yeah, it's your only ball.
Stevie Williams must have went right to the toilet after he put it out.
That was a 500-yard puckered walk.
Dude, if he hits that into the ocean, Steve Williams goes in to swim and find it. Like, that's the reaction. Like,
or leave the bag on the tee and then run for your life.
Start running and saying, sorry, Tiger, I'm out. It's been fun, but we're done.
Well, could you imagine? Oh, man.
Oh, it'd be sickening. It'd be sickening. Sickening, especially with a lead like that. It's a guarantee. And to your point, it goes from a win to a DQ. You're out. Sickening. I had not heard that story. Maybe that explains how it all ended for Steve and Tiger.
There's a good if you look it up, you'll find it online, and Williams tells the story. It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, I'll find it. Masters week. We're going to have this all week going, so make sure you have your picks by Wednesday, and we'll see what happens. Enjoy the game tonight. Have a good call. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. And I'll wear the green suit to hell with everybody else.
I know.
Shout out. Love the green suit. It's coming later in the week. Guaranteed.
I like
it. Happen. All right, buddy.
Later, boys.
Tomorrow. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.